Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Soap. We are in Proverbs 23 today. I'm going to do this a little different. So I'm using the NIV version, which actually helps a lot because they are have little headings for saying 7, 8, 9, 10. So I'll be referring to these groups of verses. Nicole, if you wouldn't mind, we're going to start by reading verses 1 through 9, and then we'll read as we go along.
Okay. So as Pastor Sean said, we're in Proverbs 23. My NIV version, again, labels these as the 30 sayings of the wise. And this chapter covers saying 7 through saying 19. So we're starting in verse 1. When we sit to dine with a ruler, note well what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. Do not crave his delicacies, for that food is deceptive. Saying 8. Do not wear yourself out to get riches. Do not trust your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Saying 9. Do not eat the food of the begrudging host. Do not crave his delicacies, for he is the kind of person who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the little you have eaten and will have wasted your compliments. Saying 10. Do not speak to fools, for they will scorn your prudent words.
Okay, thanks, Nicole. Let me pray, and then we'll jump into these sayings. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wisdom of old, of King Solomon and others, and that as we read these words, would it be applicable to us today? Would you give us wisdom for today? And so we lift this time up to you, and we pray that you'll teach us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to look at these in groups. Group one, if we gave it a heading, we could call it self-control, discernment, in the face of power and wealth. So there's a lot of, let me just resize my screen here. Okay, so come on, computer. Okay, so we have sayings 7 through 10 that we're going to look at now. Okay, so saying 7, basically, if we kind of modernize this a little bit, it says, watch yourself in influential circles. So other verse talks about dining with rulers. So when you sit to dine with a ruler, be careful what you desire. So a modern application of this could be, you're invited to a fancy business dinner, a VIP party, or a meeting with a high-level leader. Could be anyone. And so it's tempting to be starstruck, and because of that, compromise to impress. But that's exactly what we shouldn't be doing. Maybe you laugh at off-color jokes. Maybe you flatter dishonestly, or you overindulge. So let's look at some application here. Don't forfeit your values to gain influence, right? Practice integrity and self-control in these kind of environments. People don't respect compromise. People see right through that. And then ultimately have faith in the plans God has for you. We are in chapter 23. Anyone in the chat who's not sure where we are? Okay, so have faith in the plans God has for you. And then this is going to come up throughout this whole book, this whole chapter as we gain wisdom. One of the keys is asking the Holy Spirit for discernment, right? So is that discernment that's going to help us get through these kinds of situations? Okay, saying eight, which is verses 4 and 5. If you're not in the NIV, it doesn't necessarily have the sayings, but we're in verses 4 and 5. Okay, so don't obsess over money. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Okay, so why? Because wealth is fleeting, right? It's not something we take into eternity with us. So what's a modern application here? Maybe you work very long weeks, maybe 70, 80 hours. You take on side hustles, you sacrifice rest. You sacrifice your family or your faith and all of those things so you can get ahead, right? You constantly check the stock market. Not necessarily a bad thing, but when it consumes you, it is. So what's the application for saying, hey, should we work hard? Yes, work hard, but don't make money your master. So Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to be one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So be present with your loved ones, right? Invest in the things that outlast your bank account, right? Relationships, character, faith. And again, how do we do that? Well, by doing what we're doing right now, by studying God's word and then asking the Holy Spirit, discernment, 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 right? Asking the Holy Spirit to help us discern those things that are right. How are we spending our time? How are we spending, how we're investing into relationships, our character, and our faith. All right, let's move on to saying nine. Okay. So it says, do not eat the food of a begrudging host. Do not crave his delicacies. For he is the kind of person who's always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Okay, so beware of false hospitality, right? So someone offers you a lot, but who's not, is counting the cost at every second. Right, so modern application. You offered a favor, a deal, or friendship that seems generous until you realize there's a hidden agenda. Okay, so what do those kinds of people expect in return? There's always a cost, right? There's a hidden agenda. They're expecting loyalty, gossip, or favors in return. So beware. Okay, so what's the application here? Learn, and again, through the power of the Holy Spirit, learn to recognize manipulative generosity, right? Generosity that maybe seems too good to be true, right? There's a cost to it. Don't be seduced by free things or compliments. I ask the Holy Spirit to help you discern motives. And then we should choose peace over entanglement. Because these kinds of situation always lead to some kind of entanglement. Okay, so be careful. Okay, let's see, saying 10. This is verse 9. Do not speak to fools, for they will scorn your prudent words. Okay, pretty straightforward, right? Have discernment in conversations. Modern application, maybe you're debating online, arguing in chat groups, or trying to correct someone who clearly doesn't care to understand. Okay, so application is don't pour your energy into dead-end conversations. Walk away with dignity. Spend time mentoring the humble, not convincing the arrogant, right? Because you won't be able to convince the arrogant. Here's a few verses for later study. You can write this down. Matthew 7, verse 6, Matthew 10, verse 14, and Matthew 23, 12. So be wise in how you handle influence, money, relationships. Appearances can deceive. Don't trade integrity for that momentary gain. Okay, so this group of saying 7 through 10, I've put together some questions we can ask ourselves. So remember, this group of sayings was about self-control and discernment in the face of power and wealth. So here are some questions you can ask yourself. Okay, am I more impressed by status and power than by character? Okay. Do I change who I am to fit in with powerful or influential or wealthy people? Where am I chasing wealth or comfort at the expense of peace or purpose? Okay. do I accept gifts or favors from people who have unhealthy motives? Okay, these are all things that point to unhealth in this area. Do I speak wisdom to people who clearly aren't open to hearing? Obviously, we want to try, but we don't want to keep throwing our wisdom to fools. And then, how can I grow in discernment about where to invest my words, time, and energy? Okay, so who's the wise counsel that we are connected with? Connect groups, right? Am I looking into the Word for insight? Am I asking the Holy Spirit to lead me and grow my discernment in these situations? All right, let's jump to group two. Nicole, if you wouldn't mind reading verses 10 through 14.
Okay, again, these are labeled saying 11 through saying 13. So, saying 11, verse 10, do not move an ancient boundary stone or encroach on the fields of the fatherless, for their defender is strong. He will take up their case against you. Saying 12, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Saying 13, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with the rod, they will not die. Punish them with the rod and save them from death.
Okay. Thank you, Nicole. Yep, that's right. Okay, so verses 10 and 11 basically don't exploit the weak. Verse 12, apply your heart to instruction. 13 and 14, discipline your children. So let's look at saying 11. Okay, so if I had to give it a title, I would say defend the oppressed or those who can't defend themselves. Okay, so modern application. So who is the defenseless, right? So who is the fatherless? It's saying that You should not be turning a blind eye. So, what are some modern application? You witness someone being exploited, someone being underpaid by a boss, systemic injustice, could be anything. Right. So, what this saying is don't turn a blind eye. Right. So, we should be advocating for the marginalized, even when others ignore it. Why? Because God is always working for the good of those, right? It says, for the defender is strong, he will take up their case against you. And we can trust that God is always working, right? And he will honor our actions in the situations. Saying 12, one verse, I apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Okay, so modern application for this one. Sometimes we like to assume that we know everything, right? At work, in faith, in relationships, right? So sometimes we resist feedback. How should we apply this, right? We should be coachable. Right, we should read, we should listen, we should ask questions. Real growth comes when we stay humble, not when we're defensive or arrogant. Let's take a look at Second Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people were called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turns from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. So humility is at the core of this. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. So bottom line is be open to instruction. Do that with humility. And then we will actually grow when we do that. The opposite, when we're defensive or arrogant, well, we're not going to make friends. We're not going to gain trust, right? We're not going to move ahead in those situations. Okay, we are on saying 13, which is talking about discipline with love. It says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with a rod, they will not die. Punish them with a rod and save them from death. Now, again, let's look at a bit of a modern application here. Sometimes we want to be the cool parents, right? Or the cool teacher or the cool leader. So, what happens? We let things slide, there's no correction. Just grace, but grace without truth, right? Is that really grace? So, application here. Boundaries are, in fact, a way to show somebody love, right? So, don't abandon accountability. Accountability, correction is necessary, right? Correct with gentleness and consistency. I think that's a key. Consistency. We can't correct one day and not correct 7 more days, right? Correct with gentleness and consistency. Why? Because it builds a life of wisdom and self-respect, right? And now I'm a father of five, and many of you are parents. This is hard for parents, right? Because we want our kids to be happy. And sometimes correction or boundaries makes them unhappy, but that's not the way to do it, right? So we have to correct with this gentleness and consistency. God honors justice and correction. We should not shy away from discipline because it's actually a tool of love and grace and protection. We should be constantly asking the Holy Spirit on how to show grace with truth, right? So I think that's the key here. Okay. This grouping of sayings was sayings 11 through 13. A heading for this bunch would be justice, teachability, and correction. Let's look at a few questions for this group of sayings 11 to 13. So, do I actively stand up for those who are vulnerable or oppressed? Right, could be anyone. Am I teachable or do I re resist correction and feedback? Where is one area of life where I need to seek instruction instead of assuming I'm right? Oh, teachability, right? If I'm a parent or a leader, do I lovingly correct those I guide or do I avoid conflict? Now, conflict doesn't need to be this crazy, loud, harsh thing, right? Conflict is just identifying something that's wrong and then lovingly redirecting or guiding, okay? Last question is, am I more concerned about being liked than being loving through truth, okay? So truth and love is very, very valuable. And again, the key is asking the Holy Spirit to lead us through these things, to give us discernment in these things. Okay, I'm gonna jump around a little bit with the next. I'll just read this one. Saying 14, my son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad indeed. My inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. So that's 14. And I'm going to jump down to 17, which these two kind of group together. Listen to your father who gave you life. It's verse 22. Do not despise your mother when she's old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. Okay, so if I had to give a heading to these two, it's wisdom that blesses families. Saying 14 starts with, my son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad indeed. So, what's the modern application of this? Is our choices don't just affect us, right? They ripple into our family, our teams at work, our faith community, our connect groups, whatever it is. Our choices affect those around us, okay? So we're talking about saying 14 now. So what's the application? We should be wise in the choices we make. So if your heart is wise, most things stir up in our hearts, right? Good or bad, right? Choose wisely, not just for my own sake, but for those who love us, those who lead us. And then our growth encourages others more than we know, right? So what we do has a ripple impact on everyone else. Verse 17 is talking about honoring our parents, possibly mentors. So listen to your father, bring joy to your mother, right? So as we grow older, it's easy to dismiss our parents as out of touch, but here's the application. So show honor through listening, right? Through visiting, right? For some of us whose parents might be in another state, another country, I'm guilty of this. I need to communicate more with my father, right? He lives in South Africa. I don't see him, maybe only every 7 years or so. But there's ways that I can honor him through talking, through whatever it is, thanking them, right? I found this interesting as you look through this saying 17, it is basically saying that our parents' joy is tied to our life choices, okay? So the things we do, if you have children, you know this, right? How many times have you had pain and agony because of the choices of your kids? But as children, we are the ones who are being called to bring joy to our parents. So, what's the fifth commandment, right? It says, honor your parents. And if we jump to Ephesians 6:1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it might go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Okay, so wise choices bless our families and our community. Wisdom isn't just personal, it's relational and generational. Okay, so for those of you that have done a Freedom Connect group or Freedom Conference, we know that sometimes there's generational cycles or sin that we need to break. And so that's the opposite of what this saying is doing. But if our parents were good and righteous, we bring them joy by making good decisions. Okay, a couple of questions for you to ponder. Okay, are my choices bringing joy or pain to those who raised or mentored me? Okay, so what are the results of the things that I do? There's always a ripple effect. Do I honor my parents or spiritual mentors even when I don't agree with them? Okay. So there's a way to disagree that still honors our parents or mentors. Okay. Have I thanked those who have invested wisdom in my life? I think that's a powerful thing when we recognize that and we actually bring honor to that by telling someone, thank you for what you did in my life because it has helped me become the person I am today. Am I building a life that the next, and this is so powerful, am I building a life that the next generation can admire and build upon? So the way we honor others is showing the next generation how to bring honor, right? So are we doing something that creates that example that they can build upon? Okay, last one. How do I respond when others offer godly advice, especially family? Right? Am I open to it? Am I open to taking out the good things? Sometimes it's things that are maybe not relevant, but if there is, am I honoring that? Okay. Let's move on to saying 15 and 16. Nicole, if you wouldn't mind reading. Saying 15 and 16, which is verses 17 through 21.
Okay, saying 15, verse 17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future for you. I'm sorry, there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Saying 16, verse 19. Listen, my son, and be wise, and set your heart on the right path. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags.
Thank you. Okay, so wait to give this group of verses 17 to 21 a heading. It would be possibly envy, hope, and self-control in pleasure. Okay, so saying 15 essentially is don't envy the world, right? Don't envy sinners. Modern application. So you see others breaking rules, chasing worldly pleasures, gaining popularity. They seem to be winning, right? But it's just a perception. So don't be fooled by short-term success. Okay. Keep your eyes on God's promises. Why? Because we're playing the long game and our reward is eternal. So that's why it's so important to have an eternity mindset, right? What's happening on earth is short and fleeting. Eternity is eternal, okay? Obviously. So Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So God's plans are better. Don't envy sinners. Don't envy those things that are short-lived. Saying 16, basically saying avoid overindulgence, okay? Don't join gluttons or drunkards. So modern application, social life nowadays often revolves around partying, drinking, overeating. Okay. What's the wisdom here? Self-control is rare but powerful. So we should choose self-control. You can still enjoy life without being ruled by your appetites or desires, right? Walk away from things that pull you towards destruction. Okay, so all of these things, overeating, drinking, whatever it is, stay focused on God's promise, not the world's pleasures. Why? Because those things are short-term indulgences and they bring long-term pain. Let me say that again. Those things are short-term indulgences. They bring long-term pain, right? Hope in God brings lasting peace. So again, ask the Holy Spirit for discernment. I think as believers, we're not taught to stop, pray, and then act, right? And something I had to learn was stop, okay, assess what's going on. Ask for discernment. Okay, this is not something I should be doing. Right, so that's the pray part. And discernment through the Holy Spirit. And then what's my action is, okay, make a choice. This is not God honoring. Step away from it. Okay, so some questions for saying 15 and 16. Who do I secretly envy, right? And what does that reveal about my heart? Okay, do I believe that God's future for me is worth waiting for? Or am I tempted to take shortcuts? Okay, another one. What appetites, food, drink, entertainment, spending are ruling me right now? Okay. Ask the Holy Spirit to discern what are those things that need to change. What's one way I can grow in self-control this week? And how does my lifestyle reflect hope in God's promises? Okay, let's move on to we only have two left. I'm saying 18. I'll read this one. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways. When adulterous woman is a deep pit and a wayward life is a narrow well, like a bandit, she lies in wait and multiplies the unfaithful among men. Okay, modern application. Right, we are bombarded by sexual content in the media, apps, culture. Right, casual sex is normalized, commitment is marked. So what's the application here? It says, my son, give me your heart. So we need to give our hearts fully to God, right? So don't trade long-term peace for momentary pleasures, right? Because it always is momentary. God, what shapes your desires, right? Because our hearts determine our path. So sin always starts in the heart. So don't just resist behavior. We need to surrender our hearts to God. Purity begins with a passion for righteousness. Okay, again, our secret weapon, the Holy Spirit, right? And it asks the Holy Spirit to help us discern, 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 discern. Okay, and then let me. Okay, so just one question here. Am I guarding my heart, or am I letting temptation shape my desires? Okay. And let's go to the final saying here, which is 19. Nicole, would you mind reading 19 for me?
Keeping me on my toes today, Pastor Sean.
I am.
Saying 19, starting in verse 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine. Do not gaze at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in a cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Your eyes will see strange sights and your mind will imagine confusing things. You will be like one sleeping on the high seas, lying on top of the rigging. They hit me, you will say, but I am not hurt. They beat me, but I don't feel it. When will I wake up so I can find another drink?
So, saying 19 is talking about the destruction of addiction and using alcohol as a case study here. So, don't numb the pain. We need to heal it, right? Modern application, people reach for alcohol, weed, porn, entertainment, all kinds of things to escape stress, pain, or anxiety. You tell yourself, I can handle it. But the reality is we can't, right? So, what do you use to numb your pain and it ends up mastering you? So the key is we can't mask pain, right? We have to bring it to God and trust the people. We have to choose healing over escape, right? Because why? Freedom is worth the fight. How do we find freedom? Through God's word, right? Through the Holy Spirit, through joining a freedom group, whatever it is, right? But freedom is worth the fight, so we have to fight for it. What begins as pleasure always ends in pain because substance abuse is a deceiver. It numbs you while it breaks you. So we have to choose clarity over chaos, right? So, question is, what do I run to when I'm stressed, lonely, or anxious? Is it alcohol, food, screens, other comforts to numb deeper pain? Okay. Where do I need healing instead of escape? So, what is that freedom that you need to fight for to find healing? Okay. So, right, well done. Thank you, Nicole, for that comment. So, there's people in this group that can help you if you are still stuck in any of these things. So, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you. So, as we've looked through this whole chapter, what has God said to you today? What is your one point of action? Okay. I'm going to pray, and then we'll get you back into your day. So, Father, we thank you for the wisdom of Proverbs. We thank you for the challenges that you put in front of us. Father, I pray today if there's one that is struggling with any one of these things, that you would bring that to mind. Father, that you would allow these words to I'm sinking to our hearts that you allow these words to bring action today. So, Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to bring discernment. I pray that you would help us find truth in everything, that we would fight for freedom. Father, I pray a blessing on each one that's going to be listening to this or have heard this. And Father, we pray that you would bring freedom and restoration, health, and discernment. And Father, I pray blessing on each one and all the things that have to be accomplished in our lives today and this week. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.